are tired, Lord, from the weekend and the things that have gone on, Lord, as we celebrate our students and some of their great accomplishments and birthdays and things. But we just ask, dear God, that you would wake us up, that you would move us, dear God, into a place, Lord, where we can grow and learn. And I just ask, Father God, that you would take me out of the way. I pray, Lord, that your word would just speak to our hearts in a powerful way this morning. And I ask it now in Jesus' name, amen. So as we open up our Bibles and begin our new series, you can see the title is called Good Stewardship, Faithfully Managing the Life Entrusted to Us. And I want to just take a quick second and think about that for a minute. And I'll ask it as a question. Do you guys feel like that this life that we live now seems like it takes more hands-on management than ever? It seems like hardly anything ever works out the way you plan. There's always a new thing to deal with and wrestle with and struggle with. And God, by the way, has put us here to be his stewards of the kingdom and to do what he wants us to do right now. And thanks, Cindy, for that song. That kind of helps us to think that through. I'll just share just a quick story. The picture that you see there is a picture of a wild horse on Assateague Island. Jay and I had a couple days to get away. We spent 3 nights in Ocean City, Maryland, which, by the way, used to be connected to Assateague Island. And I'll share, by way of a little bit of story. Kind of interesting, you know how when people see, like, a beautiful place in America, what automatically strikes our mind? Let's develop it because we're going to make a whole lot of what? Money, right? And by the way, that was the plan for Assateague Island. And it is a place, by the way, there's a couple hundred wild horses that roam Assateague Island. Ironically, by the way, there was a story that the horses got there when a ship, you know, was in a terrible shipwreck and the horses swam ashore. It turns out that story is not really true. The horses got there because the people on the mainland who were being taxed for their horses took them over to the island so they wouldn't get taxed anymore. Isn't that crazy? So fast forward to 1933, everyone had their sights on this place, and it was going to be the next incredible place that everyone would want to go, and everyone would make so much money. God had a different plan. There was the hurricane of 1933, and it forever separated Assateague Island from Ocean City, Maryland, and today that is a national wildlife refuge, and by the stewardship of people, these horses and all kinds of things live on, which is kind of cool. And I say that to say this. You know, sometimes in our life, doesn't God have a different plan? And it's not about the money. It's not about just what we want. But God has a different plan. But here's the cool thing. God wants to use us to bring about his plan. And he wants us to manage and to verse in scripture we'll look at. He wants us to kind of occupy earth until he comes back. And that's what we're going to look at today as we stop and think about it. So we're going to go right to the next slide, if you guys would. And the message today, what I want to do is, by the way, today I'm not going to say everything about stewardship. We would never go home. So I'm not going to say everything about it. I'm going to try to introduce this topic. But what I want to do today is I want to kind of grasp this word, stewardship. What does that mean? And we'll go right down to the next slide as we think about that. And I want to just kind of the question. So, you know, so what is stewardship? By the way, anyone in the congregation, when was the last, has anybody heard the word stewardship in the last month? We don't really use that word too much, right? So, you know, what is it? Why does it matter? And we need to look into God's word to figure it out. And I would go right to the next slide. When you hear the word, and go down one more slide, if you would, please. When you hear the word, I'll come back to that one. Go fast forward one more. When you hear the word stewardship, what's everybody think? Money, right? You hear that from insurance agents. You hear it from financial planners. Sometimes you hear it at church. You hear it, right? Everyone thinks stewardship. Everyone's like, let me hold on to my wallet. All right, so I'm not trying to get your wild taste. Don't worry about that. That's one of the areas that we're going to talk about, but that's not the only thing. The idea of stewardship, and if you guys would go back one slide for me, The idea of stewardship is this. The Bible identifies God as the creator and owner of all. Is that true? It really is, right? You know, James says this. It says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow of turning. Everything we have comes from God, is owned by God. In God's sovereignty and in his grace, God commissions us as co-workers to manage all aspects of life on earth. And God knows, man, it needs managing, doesn't it? Life is tough. Lots of issues, lots of stuff, things going on. But God's commissioned us to do that. And I'll throw this out. Here's the key word. I want you guys to think about this and maybe circle it even in your bulletin. We have been entrusted. God has entrusted us with the gifts he's given us and with this task to manage life on earth. And he's entrusted us with so many blessings and gifts to use for God's glory and the good of all of creation. This is biblical stewardship. So it's not just a money thing. It's everything. And we're going to look at that over the next couple of weeks and just think about that some more. So take us down, Christopher, two slides. It's definitely more than the money. And what I want to start out today with, I want to think about a couple of the words that the Bible uses for stewardship. So we're going to look at the Old Testament, hence we read the book of Genesis. We're going to look at the New Testament, and we're going to kind of cook up just what does this thing mean, stewardship? You know, is it, that sounds boring. It sounds like, you know, some corporate thing. What is it? So we're going to get our arms around that this morning. So take us right to the next slide, if you guys would, this morning. So there's a couple of words. And by the way, I want you guys to understand, when we explain concepts and we talk about what God wants us to do, it's not something that me, Pastor Anstu, Missionary Chip, Guy, we're not making this up. This comes from God's word. And I always want us to understand that, by the way, my wisdom is about this much. When I go to God's word, I got a whole lot more wisdom. So we're going to look at what does God's word say. So as I look in the Old Testament, there's a couple of words that God uses for the idea of this word steward. The first word is this word ashar el bayit. And the idea is translated in multiple places in Genesis. By the way, we read about Joseph this morning. Joseph was an awesome steward. We're going to come to him more in a second. But this word, right, kind of has this idea. It means literally one who is over a house. And the word, by the way, if you look at that word up there, bayit is the idea of house. So a steward is somebody that is in charge of the house. And by the way, he's not the owner. Who's the owner, by the way, of everything? God. God's the owner, but he makes a person a steward, and he's in charge of the house. And that's literally the expression. It says the expression is literally one over house, one charged with oversight of household operations. A steward is one to make sure that things get done the right way. You know, if we're thinking about this from a biblical standpoint, we want to do things God's way because it's the right way and it'll be the way that will lead us to success, right? Take your Bible with me for a second before I keep your fingers in Genesis. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 1. Because stewards, you know, these guys are, they're all about helping us do things God's way, the right way. And if we do that, when we do things God's way, we're going to find out that things work out better. Amen? You know, I can do it my way. I can be proud. I can be, you know, I can have a swelled head. But when I do things God's way, it works out. And if I go to Psalm 1, and I know, Nancy, your class looked at this last week. But when I go to Psalm 1, look what it says. It says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So I can try to do things the way other people tell me. And a lot of times they'll tell me, this is the way to get rich quicker. This is the way to get ahead. Don't worry about the people you hurt. Don't worry about who you step on. That's not God's way. God says, don't listen to them, but do it my way. And a steward wants us to do things God's way. It says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, But instead, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And by the way, check this out. Look at verse 3. I hope, by the way, anybody enjoying all the heat? It is hot out there, right? It is hot out there. You know, even at church in Carol's office, it is hot in there. The air conditioner's not working quite right. It's hot, right? It's hot. You know, and I know about you guys, but if you don't water your lawn, what color is it? It is brown. The grass is dead, or it's almost dead, right? It's so bad. But look what the Lord says. And by the way, doesn't life feel like that sometimes? Not just with the heat, but the Lord says this. He said, for the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord and the person who meditates on his law day and night, says he's going to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf will not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. So the idea of someone who is a good steward, who is working for God, is directing us to do what? Do things God's way, because it's surely going to work out for us. Right? That's what he's trying to get at. And I want to continue, so kind of get an idea of this word, about this idea of steward. So we're going to go to the next one. There's another word there for steward too, and it's called ben meshek. Here's a quick lesson. When you study the Hebrew language, whenever you hear the word ben, what does that mean? It means son of, right? Ben meshek, son of meshek, right? And here's the idea. It's translated steward in Genesis chapter 15. We're talking about Abraham and his children, Eliezer. And here's what it says. It says, the one who will inherit my estate. So again, a steward is the one who is responsible, the one who is going to ultimately inherit the estate. And I want to throw this out. Everybody look up. Anybody having a difficult time in life right now? Let's be real. You know, I know you're in church and we say, oh, everything is great. You know, I ask people, how are you doing? Great. You know, it's bad to lie in church. Right? It's bad to lie anytime, but you know where I'm going, right? It ain't all that great sometimes, right? But here's the point, right? We are the joint heirs of Jesus Christ, and better days are coming, right? And we use this idea. He was using about Abraham was talking about his other son, Eliezer, right, who was not the one of promise, but he says this guy would literally inherit his estate. He's the one, and we all know that who inherited Abraham's estate? Isaac, right? And he became the son of promise. Isaac, Jacob, so on and so forth, the 12 tribes, right? But the idea of this word is literally the one who would inherit the promise. The steward is the one who's going to inherit that. So we want to go down to the next verse there real quick, or next word. There's one more word here that's here as well, and it's the word, it looks like sar, but it's really like shar when you pronounce it in Hebrew. And this idea is it's used infrequently in this regard, but the term is often translated the official or the one in charge of the property or the overseer. And let me stop and try to bring this where it makes some sense. Here's the deal. God has called us to be his stewards. Paul said he is a steward of the mysteries of God, right? We're called, and we'll look at this passage in 1 Peter chapter 4, that we're supposed to be these good stewards that use our gifts to build each other up, right? God wants us to do those things. He wants us to be those people, and the idea is we are the ones that God is going to use to take his kingdom forward on this earth, right? That's the plan. You guys all have a role in this. It's not just the few pastors or the deacons or the important people that the world thinks. It's everybody. We all can be stewards. And we're going to go down to the New Testament and take us there real quickly, if you guys would. There's two words. The first word is epitropos, right? And it has this idea, again, of steward, the one who is in charge, the one who speaks as the one who speaks for the owner. And I want to throw this out. If we're stewards, and by the way, our stewardship that God gives us is over our money, over our gifts, over our relationships. So we're supposed to be the one who speaks for the owner, God, when we speak to those around us, in our families, in our church, wherever we are. We'll skip down to the next word. I'm not trying to speak too much time on this. But here's the big word in the New Testament. And the word is oikonomos. Say it, oikonomos, right? That's the word. And the idea of that word is, this defines the person, the task, or the place of stewardship. Someone who's faithful and a sensible manager of the things that God has entrusted him to. And it frames this New Testament picture of a house manager for God in this world. So I want everybody to understand, everybody look up for a quick second. Get this in your minds. God wants all of us to manage the things of our lives as a steward. Now, that's just kind of looking at the words topside real quick. We're going to skip right on down. Take me there if you would. Thank you so much. I want to take us to Genesis chapter 1. And I want to establish the first point, right? Everybody look up. God is the owner of everything. Right? And by the way, look what it says. I read the book of Genesis chapter 1. It says, in the beginning, what happened? God created the heavens and the earth. And by the way, that is a factual statement. That is not a fable. That is not, you know, just some figure of speech that was used to talk about the creation. But God spoke into existence heaven and earth, and he spoke it into existence from nothing. There's a word, it's called ex nihilo. From nothing, he did that. But then look what God says. God says, as he creates mankind, he says, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. And by the way, look at God right away in the very first chapter of Genesis, in the very first book of the Bible, he says, there is a job for mankind. And look what he says to Adam. He says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on earth. So guess what? When God put Adam on earth and God put us on earth, he wanted us to do something, which is to have dominion over his creation. By the way, dominion doesn't mean I just destroy it, use it for my own ends, just to, you know, give me what I want, but I am controlling it, I am managing it for my good and the good of everyone else. So God gives that to Adam. And look what it says. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, that idea of dominion, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and everything that moves on the earth. So when everybody step up, look up for a second. You know, God said that to Adam. And God, by the way, is saying that to us. God has given all of us a job, which is to steward the things in our lives. And I'll throw this out, everybody, because some of you guys are going, I can't control anything. And to a large extent, you're right. But with God's help, you can. And some of the frustration we deal with in life every day is things are out of control, things are going crazy, things are changing. By the way, isn't change frustrating? The older we all get, the harder change is. You know. By the way, if you read all these books in Christendom, it talks about change, change, change. And we always try to make change look good, but it always feels bad. Right? But with God's help, we can manage the things of this life. He's the owner, and he's going to help us do that. We want to go to the next verse. Check this out, just to kind of clarify this point. Look what the psalmist, David wrote this in the Psalms, and he said, the earth is who? The Lord's and all its fullness. Let me kind of translate that into our language. Guess what? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. I know some of you guys are going, well, you don't know how hard I work. You know, this money is mine, this house is mine, this car is mine. Everybody look up. I got good news and bad news for you. None of it's really yours. It's all God's. Amen. But he has entrusted you to use it on this earth to accomplish his purposes. Right? And that's kind of cool. And I'll throw this out, by the way. You know, I'm driving a car that has 150,000 miles. And for some reason, God is, he's just keeping it going. Anybody else got one like that? Amen, right? You know, I got my 2010 God's Caravan. It's my truck. It's my warehouse. It works for the food pantry. It does everything. It carries lawnmowers. It moves my kids, you know, when they move, all these things. And by the way, you know, it makes a lot of sounds and creaks and cracks, but it's still going. Praise God. I love the owner. He's taking care of that car, right? Everything belongs to God. He's the owner and he's the creator, and he has chosen us as his stewards over creation until he comes back. And by the way, he's coming back. And we can be confident of that. So we're going to go to the next verse. Just kind of establish some key points here, right? Kind of a little bit of a working definition to think about. And I want you guys to think about this for a minute. Everything belongs to God. He's the owner and creator. He's chosen us as his stewards. And look what Luke says about this. By the way, Jesus spoke this parable. And he says, now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable. Because he was near Jerusalem, because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Everybody look up. The kingdom of God did not come immediately then, and it may not come immediately now. By the way, Jesus could come at any time, but he might not come today. For some of us, we're saying, praise God, he's not coming. Others are saying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But he's coming. But we're not sure when he's going to come, right? But look what he said. He said this. He said, therefore, he said, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, and he delivered to them 10 minas, and he said to them, do business till I come. Everybody look up. Would you guys say that with me? Do business till I come. In other words, we are here on earth. Jesus hasn't come back yet. Let me look outside. He hasn't come back yet. We're still here. The Bible says that when he comes back, the church is going to be raptured out. So we're going to be meeting him in the air. We're still here. But what's God want us to do? Do business till he comes. And by the way, everybody look up. It doesn't matter if you're really old, really young, really sick, really well, or somewhere in between all those things. He said, do business till I come. Right? And that's what God wants us to do as his stewards. Like, we have a job to do. Do business till he comes. Take us to the next slide. So kind of here's a bit of a working definition. Get this in your mind, and I'll publish this so you guys have it for next time. This is not mine. This came out of the Holman Illustrated Bible Dictionary. But it says this word. The biblical concept of stewardship, beginning with Adam and Eve and what continuing to all of us, right, and developed more fully in the New Testament, is that God is the owner and provider of all that any of us possess. I'm sorry. God owns it all. He owns the shirt on your back. He owns everything you got, right? He owns it all. He owns it all. And since all belongs to him, it's incumbent that all be used for his purpose and his glory. Oh. So in other words, everything you got is supposed to be used to bring glory to God and to accomplish his purpose, which, by the way, his purpose is very clear. His purpose is to redeem man. To get people to come to know him as their Savior so that they have eternal life. And that they have a joyful life here because he's in them and with them, right? So that's the purpose of everything you got. You know, even that old car, that old watch, those old clothes. The purpose is to bring glory to God. And he said a collective responsibility was given to mankind to have dominion over the earth, care for it, and manage it so all those things bring glory to God. So here's the deal. Individually, whether financial resources, real property, your home, your land, whatever you got, other valuable items, your time, your influence, or your opportunity, the believer is to seek the mind and will of God for every decision. That's what stewardship is, right? In other words, remember, God's the owner, so I can't say, you know, I'm not really going to talk to him today. I'm going to do what I want to do. I can say that, but that's probably not the best idea. Because if I want Psalm 1 to happen in my life, where I'm like a tree planted by rivers of water, even when it's hot and dark and bad and terrible, God's going to be blessing and bringing about his purpose, right? If I let him be the owner and I become the steward. So he expects for all that we have to be used in ways which please and honor him. That's what it means to be a steward. So it's, wow, that kind of makes sense, right? So let's take a quick example. We're going to go right on down, if you would, folks. And I want to just kind of share this two ways. Again, I'm not going to say everything about stewardship. I'm going to say a little bit about it. First thing I want to say is there's an exhortation. There's a command that God gives. This is what he says, and we're going to look at that first. And we're going to look at a couple of examples about good stewards. So here's the exhortation. Take us there, please, guys. So here's the exhortation. Check it out. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. And we'll go right to verse 10. But I just want to tee this up. In verse 7, it says, But the end of all things is at hand. When Peter wrote this, he believed that Jesus could come back at any time, at any moment. And he watched the suffering and the pain and the struggles of the world. And he said, you know what? It seems like we are at this pinnacle place where Jesus could come back. 2,000 years, we're a little closer than he was. And he could still come back and is coming back, right? So he says, here we are. And as a result of being where we are, here's what he says. He says, therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. In other words, be faithful. Keep on praying, because you know what? We are in the last days. By the way, that could be a long season, but we're in those last days. And we need God's help to survive, to figure it out, to bear and endure this time. So it says, be serious and be watchful in your prayers. And above all things, he says, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Everybody look up. You know what he's saying here? He's saying, guess what? You all, as the people of Jesus Christ, you better love each other. I know that person just stepped on your toe or backed into your car. Love them anyway, because you need them. He's your brother. He's your sister. She's your sister in Christ, right? Love them anyway. Love's going to cover those sins. He said, you know, be that kind of person to love. And he says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. By the way, we like to do the first part, not the second part. We love hospitality. We love food. You know, we're Baptists. But boy, you keep asking me for the same thing. I'm starting to grumble. You know, you're wearing out the system. It's too much. Right? But he says, you know what? Be hospitable. Keep taking care of each other and don't grumble about it. God will give you the grace that you need not to be a grumbler, right? And then he says, as each one has received a gift, everybody get this in your mind, you are all recipients of God's spiritual gifts. He says, as each one's received a gift, minister or serve each other with it as good stewards of the many graces of God. Manifold means many. Like God has just poured out all these gifts. Some of you are great hospitality people. Some of you are amazing teachers. Some of you are amazing givers. Some of you have a supernatural faith that will move a mountain. God says, whatever you got, minister to the body because somebody else needs it. Right? That's the idea. And we're going to cover spiritual gifts in a couple of weeks and how we can maximize the use of the gifts of God. But that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be a minister of all the gifts you've got. If God's blessed you with money, give it away. If God's given you a great car, use it for ministry. If God's given you a great house, use it for ministry. If God's given you anything, use it for ministry. Use it to accomplish an eternal purpose, not just a temporal one, right? And here's the key thing. The body of Christ, the church, is made up of gifted people to build up the body and accomplish God's purposes on earth by being faithful stewards. It means to be faithful. It means dependable, reliable. I could count on you guys, right? That's what God wants us to be. Not just Gary counting on you guys, but God counting on you guys to do what he wants you to do. to accomplish his purpose, right? That's the exhortation. And we'll take us right on down, guys, to the next one. What about some examples? But I took this picture on our trip as well. We went to this beautiful garden in Delaware. And by the way, you notice those bumblebees there? I showed you a butterfly on the other picture. Does anybody got to tell those bumblebees or those butterflies to go get the nectar out of those flowers? Have you ever tried to talk to them? Say, come on over here, over here. Right? Anybody did that, right? Nobody's got to tell them that, right? You know why? Because they're faithful. Like God has put it in them. That's their job. They go flower to flower and flower to flower. And by the way, those bees, I was really close to those bees. They didn't want to sting me. They didn't want to bite me. They didn't want to chase me. They just wanted to do the job God asked them to do. Get the nectar. Right? And that's such a key thing, this example of Scripture. So I want to go to Joseph real quick. And I might have to stop on Joseph. That's okay. But notice in Genesis 39, turn there if you guys have it in your Bible. But I want you to check this out. Joseph is such a great example of what it means to be a steward for God. And check it out. It says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Everybody look up. Anybody ever get taken from one place to another against their will? You ever been fired from your job? Ever been laid off? Ever had to go to the hospital? Right? Ever had to go to the doctor? Ever get a bad diagnosis? Ever have an accident happen to you? Yeah, right? That's our life. That's life on earth, isn't it, right? But I want you guys to check this out. Look at verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph. By the way, remember the story? Joseph's brother sold him into slavery. Me and my brother, we used to fight. He never tried to sell me. That I'm aware of. Maybe he did. I'm going to have to ask him that question, right? I never tried to sell him either. I wanted to, but I never sold him, right? Right? But Joseph's brother sold him into slavery. But look at verse 2, everybody, by the way. As a good steward, the Lord was with Joseph. And it says, and he was a successful man. So guess what, everybody, look up. If God moves you, don't bellyache, grumble, moan, and groan. Let God do what he can do in you where he moves you to, right? That's what he's trying to say. Look, it says the Lord was with him and he was successful. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. By the way, nobody wants a master. Nobody wants a boss. But Joseph said, this is where God put me, so I'm going to bloom where he planted me. Right? So here's Joseph. And by the way, look at the next thing. It says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. Everybody look up. I said a lot today. I'm sorry. But everybody look up. The Lord was with him. And everybody saw the Lord was with him. And I'll throw this out. If we are walking with the Lord and his spirit is working on our life and God is doing things that are just unbelievable, they're going to know it's not you. They're going to know the Lord is with you. Right? And that's exactly what's happening. He says the master saw the Lord was with him and that the Lord, check this out, the Lord made all he did prosper in his hand. Where did I hear that before? Could that be Psalm 1 in action? Yeah, sounds like it is, right? And Joseph found favor in his sight. By the way, how many slaves become friends of their slave owners? Not too many, probably, right? But the Lord is able to do anything. And look what the Lord does. He makes Potiphar wake up and realize that the Lord is on Joseph. And he says, you know, I need to get a piece of that action. I need to understand what's going on here. And look what it says. So Joseph found favor in his sight, and he served him. And then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had, he put under his authority. Can you imagine? So this guy's a slave. He didn't know him from Adam. He purchased him, you know, at the slave market. And all of a sudden, he says, you know what? This guy has God's in his life. He has God's hand on his life. Everything he does is going right. I'm going to make this guy in charge of everything I got. By the way, isn't that a remarkable biblical story? But I want to say this. That's what God does when we yield to him in the power of his Holy Spirit. And I know you guys, we're going through all kinds of situations in our lives, you know, kid issues, parent issues, this issue, that issue. If I just yield to God and let him do what he can do, God will work it out and people will see he's evident in our life. Right? And continuing on there, it says, thus he left all he had. Thank you. You guys, my mind wasn't as quick as the people in the sound room. Thus he had left all he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Just a good-looking guy, and God is just blessing him. And guess what happens when that happens in life? Temptation, right? Satan is not asleep. Satan is not at bay. Satan's out there, right? And look what happens. Go to the next passage. It says, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There's no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you're his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And I want to say this. Here's the key word I want you to walk away with today. Faithfulness. Joseph realized how he got from point A to point B. And the answer was God. Doing things God's way. Being a faithful steward. Managing the affairs. And being a man of integrity. Right? And by the way, so guess what? You know the rest of the story? So Joseph gets promoted and promoted and promoted and promoted. No, Joseph goes to jail. And that's how life works sometimes, right? But ultimately what happens? God promotes him to second in power to only Pharaoh in Egypt. And Pharaoh is the name for the king of Egypt. God can do anything, right? And that's what we're talking about. Take us ahead real quick. Next slide. Another example is Daniel. And by the way, you guys know about Daniel, right? Daniel, again, was a captive. He didn't buy a plane ticket and go up to Babylon. He was a captive. He was taken there against his will. He was thought to be one of the choice people. He didn't want to go. He didn't like going. He didn't like the food. He didn't like their gods. He didn't like anything. But God took him there. And get this in your mind. Daniel, he survived the fall of Babylon. He survived the coming of the Medo-Persian Empire. He survived when the actual kings in power didn't survive because everyone saw that the Spirit of God was upon him and he was a faithful steward. And I want to throw this out. Everybody look up. Get this. A lot of times we look at our outward circumstances and we say there's no way out. We might as well just give up. We might as well jump off the bridge. We might as well do all these kind of things. Look what God does when we're faithful to him. God is faithful to us. Right? And let me add one more thing. Even when we don't do what God wants us to do, God's still faithful to us. Right? And again, these are examples. This is what it looks like to be a steward in our family, in our church, in our community, on our job, wherever God takes us. And that's what I want to leave you with this morning. That's what we're going to kind of figure out. You know, we're not just going to look at God's commands and say, hey, we got to do that. What we're going to try to wrestle with over these next several weeks is how. And I just want to take you to the very next to last slide. Please take me there. Boom. You're doing a great job, by the way. So stewardship, the measure for me. So here's the question. Your identity, are you all stewards? Yeah, the answer, the church answer is definitely yes. And the real answer is yes, 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 you are. Right? If you're a believer in Christ, you are. So here's the question now. How is your character? You know, we're trying to replace, you know, Cindy, which is like impossible. But we're trying to replace Cindy. And, you know, a lot of times, you know, people, you look up interview questions and they say, give us two words that describe your character, right? We didn't use that question yet. We may get there, right? But here's the funny thing. When people describe you, is one of the words faithful? Is it faithful? Or is it like, I don't know. I don't know what this guy's going to do. He's a little unsteady, a little shaky, right? But I want to challenge us, right? Faithfulness, integrity, being filled by the Spirit of God, that's something we want God to do in us over the next several weeks as we study this topic. We want God to change our character. If we weren't faithful, we want to become faithful. If we are faithful, man, we want to solidify our faithfulness, right? And we want to solidify our integrity, and we want to solidify the fact that we are, when we use the word filled, we mean controlled by the Holy Spirit. Not by our emotions, not by our circumstances, not by our anger, not by our lust, not by anything else, but by God's Spirit, right? That's what we need control by. And then the last thing is this. Some of you guys probably said, this topic, and go back, you guys are so quick. Go back to the last slide, please. Thank you. The last thing is our growth. Anybody struggling with issues of managing time? This is not an illustration. This is real. Keeping it real, right, Greg? It's real, right? Time. Anybody trying to figure out where your gifts really, what they are, how to use them, how to develop them? That's the real issue. Anybody struggling with their treasures? And by the way, I don't just mean the dollars, but we got a lot of treasures, right? How about relationships? Aren't they treasures? But aren't relationships challenging? Wouldn't it be cool if you could better manage your relationships? Like, with your wife, with your kids, with your, extended family. Man, that's something we all need to work on. We're going to look at those things. How about your health, right? And I'm not talking about just your mind, your body, and your soul. A lot of times our soul is living in the desert while our body seems like it's living at the beach. There's some problems there, right? And even our environment. How do we steward this world? What do we do? There's all kinds of issues about that, too. So we're going to wrestle with some of those things, and I want to encourage you to pray that God would work in these areas in your life as we move on. Amen? And we're going to pray right now. Father God, thanks for your word. I pray, dear God, that it would touch our hearts. I pray, dear God, that there would be so many Josephs, both male and female, in this congregation in the days ahead. I pray, dear God, that we would become just amazing stewards of your grace, of your gifts, and of the calling that you've given us. And I pray, dear God, that you would just develop us, Lord, in all of those areas, Lord, including our integrity. Father, work in our lives now, Lord, as we come to your table, Lord, as we celebrate your death, burial, and resurrection that changes everything. Lord God, I just pray, Lord, that we would look to you even right now, that we would think about, Lord, some of the sin issues and things that we're wrestling with in our lives. And I pray, dear God, you say we confess them to you, Father God, you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I pray, Lord, that you would do that today, Lord, even as we come to you this morning. And Lord, I just lift these things to your name now. In Jesus' name, amen.